tune to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
So as we talk today, continuing with our theme in our Scripture in Motion segment, we are looking at issues of digital evangelism and online ministry. And we want to invite you in a special way to study with us as we go through God's Word, even on this year day. Now, when you look at this method of sharing one's faith, digital evangelism, right? It became so popular right when the pandemic happened, where there was a surge in realization that the internet, as it were, could be used as a tool to keep not only abreast with other friends and family, but actually people connected, right? And even in a church space. It was a miracle. When other plagues had come for humanity, people were much worse off because they didn't have the internet. Lucky for us, right, in this day and age. However, we've long reopened the doors of our churches. If people don't return, is it because they've become lazy, or is it that they're satisfied with a video version of faith, right, an online platform? Are they sacrificing community for convenience? Are they wrong? I mean, it's an option, right? And in fact, today, do you count it as someone who's present when they are on the online platform, or do you say, no, they were absent? Let's chat about that. And guiding us in this discussion is Ubabuchoko Kutsa. So, Anes, good afternoon to you and welcome.
A good afternoon to you and to all your listeners. Happy to be here once again, and thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for coming through. Truly appreciate your time, and hoping that the Thursday is going okay.
The Thursday has been fantastic so far. I hope you've had a great one too.
No, we are doing all right. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Now, we are continuing our conversation, looking here at how to evangelize digitally and be ministers on the online spaces. Is online church a healthy and sufficient alternative to physical attendance?
I want to start off with a statement that was said by a certain pastor that I won't mention, but I found it really amazing. Listen to this. He says, you can no more go to church online than you can eat dinner at a restaurant online. And to answer your question, whether it's sufficient or not, I would definitely say no, it's not sufficient. But do we throw it away? No, we don't. We live with it.
Okay, if that's what they say, all righty.
Yeah.
So we you're saying what? We must not throw it away. We use it, but we don't throw away the other?
Yeah. So what I'm saying is it sufficient, was your question? No, it's not sufficient, but we don't chuck it away either. What we then need to figure out in this conversation is the rightful place for online church.
But isn't it each to his own, though? I mean, who are you to say it's sufficient or insufficient, or any other person out there? If I'm satisfied by what I'm getting, is it somebody else's responsibility to say, no, you're not full? Yes, you say you're full, but you're not full enough.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, fair question. And I would want to maybe just track back to the formation of the Christian church. I will skip on the Israelites and maybe go to the Christian church from where we come from. And you'd find that in the book of Acts, in fact, even before the book of Acts, you find that Jesus walks with his disciples, he communes with them, and they spend lots of time together. But when you read the book of Acts, you find that one of the most important aspects of this church was unity. And that unity came by meeting together daily. And you find that meeting together in person, this idea of fellowship, is very important to the church body. And we have, you know, the New Testament through the writings of Paul likening a church to a body. And I also want to argue to say that, you know, it's important for a well-functioning body to have all its members in close proximity as often as possible, you know, for church to function optimally.
Fascinating, fascinating. Thank you so much for that. And I think it's very important to look at it from that basis, right? And I think also, as you were mentioning, I was drawn to that passage in Revelation chapter 3, I think it is, where Christ is speaking to the last church there, the Laodicean church, and he says, hey, I know you guys think you're clothed just because you got clothes on, or you think you can see just because you're seeing images in front of you. I'm saying, hey, you're naked, you are not seeing, you're blind, and you are hungry. Come buy from me, and I'll give you actual nourishment and vision and clothing and so forth. I think that's quite potent, that sometimes what we think is sufficient might actually not be at all, not be at all. Is there a way to experience the spiritual experience you're talking about, an emotional familial bond that church family offers from a digital platform? Is there a way to connect in that space? I mean, I remember when I was in my younger days, okay, I wasn't that young, but we had Mixit and your MiG-33s, and when we started to have this idea, I don't know if I'm talking to someone who understands the Mixits, but you know, we had these computers and we were like, wait a minute, you can connect in such a platform. I mean, the older guys had your pen pals and whatnot. Surely bonds can be created even over distances, can't they?
Absolutely. And I think this is where we need to then place online or virtual church in its rightful place. I want to remind our audience that, you know, the very word church, the word is ecclesia. It suggests that we must assemble in person. You know, it's a coming together. So when fast forward plus 2,000 years later, post-COVID, having realized the benefits of virtual church during COVID, and some people then resorted to say, hey, if we can do it online, we might as well just keep doing it online. But it's very important to actually meet in person, because there are things that you cannot do virtually. And when you place the virtual meetings in their rightful place, they should augment and add to the in-person experience where you can see each other face to face. One writer argues and says that, you know, screen to screen should never be a replacement for face to face. We are facing a pandemic of loneliness when you look at the European countries, where people are literally dying for loneliness and being alone. And you find that when God designed the concept of church, of fellowship, we were to strengthen one another by meeting. We were to plan together, to go on God's mission together by meeting in person. And I want to throw in Hebrews 10:25, which was going to be thrown in at some point in this conversation.
Yeah,
that
definitely
urges us not to neglect our meeting together, as some people do, because there are benefits to us meeting. And there are activities that we also do in commemoration of the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. I mean, how do you have virtual communion? I'm yet to discover that.
Maybe you wash your own feet. I don't know. No, thank you so much for that. Now, the other thing that we pick up, though, and which has come up with the social media age, is the ability to write and share stories, right? And I think it's, if there was ever an age which is a nightmare for journalists, is this age where everybody becomes a journalist and you're not sure how to distinguish between fake news and real news. Now, because people are so, I mean, can share and are so talkative, I may use that word loosely, on the online platform, is there a way that one can transition that engagement, as it were, from an online space to a physical participation? Or because usually when you're in church, it's only the pastor and a few of the officers who are active. The rest of the church are just pew members.
Yeah. Well, it shouldn't be that way, but that's not our discussion for the day. Let me address the question that you asked. Can we find a bridge over between the content that we create online and perhaps even the church services that we host online, to then, you know, translating and converting that to in-person attendance? I like the question because this is the very purpose and point of online church. It's important that we cater, and I'm happy that we are living in an age where people that are handicapped, people that may be sick, people that may not be physically able, legitimately so, to come to church, have access, you know, to worship online. But even more than that, the content that we create should lead people to church. So if you write a nice, article, or if you've got a nice production at your church, it should serve as, you know, a basis for someone to be exposed to the church. And end goal should be to make that person a part of God's family, which is ultimately inviting them to church and, you know, worshiping with them in person. So there's definitely space for the content that we have to then bring people over to church.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear, and I think that that's a very important point, right? This idea of engaging, and not only by yourself, but bringing somebody else to join that conversation. It becomes quite key. How do you address potential conflicts, right, between online and physical church attendees, right, attenders there that sometimes the two become at loggerheads, so to speak?
Yeah, I'm not really sure what type of conflicts could, you know, result mm-hmm. from online mm-hmm. church versus in-person church, but I would really want to maybe direct the audience to the fact that this is God's church,
not
a person's church, which is what I would tell anyone who perhaps feels entitled. You know, maybe the grandfather built the church, or you've been the longest attending members at a church. First and foremost, this is God's church. And secondly, we should try by all means to ensure that as we are finishing the work of the gospel, we shouldn't be a bad representation. I mean, who would come to a church where the members are fighting online? I've attended a church where the community knew all the church fights. I mean, people died as a result of all these fights that were going on. And that didn't sit well with the community. And when you tried inviting them to church, they would say, man, I would never go to that church where the members are constantly fighting for years on end. So I want to speak to someone perhaps to, you know, be a solution, a peacemaker, if you will, to remember the words of Jesus that we should love our neighbors as we love ourselves, and to also not be the catalyst to, you know, debate and argument. I think there's a rightful place for dialogue in the church, but that shouldn't be done in public spaces, you know, ending up giving God a bad image and ultimately his church also a bad taste. So we should find ways to deal with conflict. It's going to arise. We are still on earth. We are still human. But we should treat it, you know, with much wisdom from God to ensure that at the end of the day, the church is God's representative. We are God's hands. We are God's feet here on this earth. And how would it look to the people that we are trying to share these good news with when we are fighting amongst ourselves?
Yeah, and I think that's, I guess, was the point, right, to say. Sometimes we argue as well, especially on the very points we were addressing earlier on, the issue of should we attend online or should we attend physically, where we then start pointing fingers at each other. Yeah, you're not even churching properly, you're online, you're a fake church or church light, like we would call each other. And I think those kind of things. And maybe let's talk to that, especially the last point you were wrapping up with there, this idea of harmony, of working together. How do we ensure that the digital church, the physical church, these ministries are working together in the vineyard? I mean, we seldom really fully grasp the gravitas of Matthew chapter 9, right, where Christ speaks verses 30 going down of the labor being much, but the laborers being few. The work is so much, and the harvest is ready already. And I think we sometimes want to work each other instead of working the work. Speak to us a bit about how we can join hands.
I like that, working each other instead of doing the actual work. I think once we define our purpose, and I feel in life there is nothing that you can do without a purpose. We need to know what the bigger picture is. And when we launch our wonderful online ministries, when we, you know, launch our wonderful virtual services, and when we do all these wonderful things digitally, we need to know what their space is within the work of the gospel. I want to stand and, you know, firmly say that a digital ministry is not a replacement for church. I would want to mention ministries, I perhaps won't do that. But, you know, all these ministries that we love, those are not replacement for church. You actually are, I suppose you are maybe disadvantaging yourself when you say, you know what, it's a lot peaceful at home. I'm just going to watch this specific ministry and not go to church, and this is going to be my worship experience. There are people that will benefit from your testimony in person. There are people that will benefit from seeing you, seeing what God has done in your life. And there's someone that you can give a word of hope, a word of encouragement by being present in person. Now, where does that then leave the online churches and the online ministries? We should always remember that our work, primary work as, you know, Christians, is to go and make disciples of all nations, of all people, which is the final charge and command that Jesus left his disciples with. And it comes to us by extension as we wait for his second return. Now, the work of digital ministries is to do exactly that, not to become the end in and of themselves, but to lead people to a body of believers that uphold God's truth and that support each other through fellowship by, you know, sharing the truth with the world online. But ministries should never end up being churches or a replacement thereof. So let's occupy our positions rightfully, and let's define what our purpose is so that our lines don't become blurred as we go down and as numbers grow. And, you know, we need to remember what our specific purpose for existence is as churches and as ministries.
Oh, yes. Oh, no, so totally. And I think that's quite potent. We've got a listener here, Marjorie, saying absolutely. And they totally agree with what you're saying there, how it makes total sense indeed. Maybe let's conclude it with equipping, be it the online church or the physical church, to say, how can we equip both of these ministries in terms of traditional evangelism?
Well, wherever we are missionaries. My favorite author, Ellen G. White, writes and says that the first impulse of a converted heart should be to spread the good news of Jesus. You find the encounter that the Samaritan woman had with Jesus at the well, where she found out that, you know, he was the Messiah, and the very first impulse that she had was to share this good news with others. So how do we then find our space as missionaries in this day and age, whether digitally, whether traditionally? Again, I would want to speak to purpose. When you understand that the purpose for which you were created was to make Christ known and to fully reflect his image and share the good news of his kingdom with everyone, wherever you are, whether at work, in the conversations that you have, in the encounters that you have, in your behavior and your conduct, people should see a difference and should see that this person has been with the Lord. And whenever you get a chance to speak to people, yes, we can talk about the weather. Yes, we can talk about the news. But what we should remember is that our ultimate responsibility is to lead our neighbors, if we truly love them, to the truth as it is in Jesus. So that's how we can continue ministering. That's how we can continue evangelizing in the traditional way.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps you're not a good speaker. Perhaps you're a shy person. Perhaps you can't speak at all. There's wonderful material that one can get their hands on. And you can always share a book with someone. You can share a written verse with someone. You can send a kind message to someone. And when we now transition to the digital space, we can then understand that on social media platforms and the digital world as a whole, we then have this entire world open to us, where perhaps I've got influence over 20 people at work. You can reach millions using the digital platforms, whether be it YouTube, Facebook, WhatsApp. And we then need to intentionally create our content to speak to the people's needs online. It's an interesting fact that people in 2020, there was a 400% spike, according to Statista.com, people searching for the second coming. And since 2020, people have been searching for that term. Now, with that information, go online, make a video, write an article, ask your church to do a series on the second coming. And that way we can infuse traditional evangelistic methods with digital evangelism methods to speak to relevant issues and relevant interests that people have. So the two can really work together. And I feel the Gospel Commission, which is a mission impossible on its own by ourselves, can be completed a lot faster with the disposal, you know, to all these tools that we have, being the digital space that we now have access to.
Certainly. And I think that's quite potent. And thank you for that practical wisdom and knowledge that we need. Here's a comment coming through from our WhatsApp line, maybe as we close off. Part of the spiritual growth is participation. And then there's a question. Is there a way for an online church member to participate in the church's mission beyond simply being a consumer of the content?
A very powerful question, and I'm happy that it comes up at this point, because it would have been amiss for us to not discuss that. So we need to place online church rightfully. Online church should never be a replacement for in-person church, for reasons we've mentioned earlier. We should never get to a point where we resort to worshiping online, because you find that there are challenges with commitment. There are challenges with accountability. You can do as you please, when you please. You can watch a sermon here, a music service there, an afternoon program there, and, you know, a devotional wherever you want. And you find that you actually limit yourself to participate in the church service. But online church is beneficial for people that honestly and validly cannot be in a service online, perhaps due to sickness or due to maybe traveling in a world. Maybe you've gone to Japan where English is not spoken and you don't understand. You can still tune in online. But I personally think that, you know, a new challenge is introduced when one wants to participate online, saying, I won't come to church, you'll find me on Zoom. But in the same breath, I also want to say that, yes, one can truly participate, because there are many churches that hold Wednesday prayer night meetings, maybe Tuesday prayer night meetings, maybe discussions for the youth, maybe discussions for men and women on the issues that they face. And one can definitely, you know, step up and offer their expertise and offer their wisdom in being a participant to this online virtual ministry that your church may be having. But as a replacement for attending church in person, I strongly speak against people staying online and worshiping in the comfort of their homes and couches when they are able to attend church in person. I hope that's a balanced answer.
No, indeed. But 100% sense. Well, Mabuchoko Kuzo, thank you so much for your time. We'll have to leave it there for today. Appreciate you taking us through the importance of grasping the importance of both these ministries, but also not negating the other. Thank you so much.
It's all a pleasure. And thank you to everyone who lent us an ear today.
Wonderful stuff. Have a marvelous day. Until we chat again tomorrow. Stay blessed. Keep well.
Cheers. Bye.
And that is how we wrap up that segment. It's Scripture in Motion, where our use of Scripture, our interaction with it, gets new life as we use it on the move.
You are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.